Thursday, 31 December 15, broadcast at the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks for tuning in to the Calvary Hour. This broadcast is a ministry of the Calvary Baptist Church located in New Bern, North Carolina. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. We're in Isaiah 58 and now also over in Ezekiel chapter 8. Had not intended to spend this much time in this scripture, but I'm telling you, we're in a spiritual gold mine. I am aware, and I believe you are too, that when we're not seeing the blessings of God, there's got to be a cause, because the Bible makes it clear that the curse causeless shall not come. Somebody said that if your water is not flowing out of the mouth of the creek, the mouth of the creek is not where you look for the trouble. You got to go upstream, because somewhere upstream, the flow is being blocked. Well, that's the same way it is spiritually as well. And so we're looking at some of the things that block the flow of the blessings of God. In Isaiah chapter 58, we'll read verse 1, and then we'll get back over to verse 12. We'll go over to verse 12 and then back over to Ezekiel chapter 8. Father, do bless us now with thy word. Lord, thank you for another year that thou hast given us. I pray in this coming new year that, O God, that we'll be faithful to thee. And may, if it's your will, this be the year of your coming. We pray with John of old, even so come, Lord Jesus. In the meantime, help us to occupy, dear Lord Jesus, until thou dost come. We pray in thy name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 58. Remember, our key text is verse 12. The Bible says, And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. God said, if you'll do what I tell you here in this book, and especially in chapter 58 here, he said, you'll be able to lay the foundation for many generations. Now, we know there's only one foundation to be laid. That's clear from the New Testament. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But we can all build on this foundation. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're told that there are different types of building materials. Some, like gold, silver, and precious stone, will withstand the fires of judgment. In other words, it'd be approved to God. Then there are those that are hay, wood, and stubble, and they are not approved of God, and they will be burned at the judgment seat. They'll be done away with. We want to build with gold, silver, and precious stones. So in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 12, he tells us we can lay the foundation. That is, we can present Christ to different people, and then they can present Christ to others, and we can lay the foundation for many generations. However, when we're not seeing this work accomplished, we know that there's usually sin involved. Now, God warned his people about this in Isaiah 58 and verse 1. He said, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. In chapter 58, he rebukes them for fasting for the wrong reason, fasting in the wrong way, and also for not observing the Sabbath day. Over in Ezekiel chapter 8, we have a different situation. We're looking at where a lot of the problem was coming from, or did come from, I should say, that caused Israel to go into captivity. Now, were the people, were they in trouble? Were they idolaters? Yeah, they were. They were in idolatry. But dear friend, I don't think the problem came from the people up into the leadership. I believe it came from the leadership down. In fact, we'll just skip over real quick to Ezekiel chapter 22, where God is going to look for a man to stand in the gap and build up the hedge. And we find that prophets, priests, and the people, they were all corrupt. God said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Well, in Ezekiel chapter 8, here's the scenario. Ezekiel is over in Babylon in the land of captivity where God's people has been taken. But the Spirit of God will come and lift him up and in visions take him back to Jerusalem to the temple, and he'll show Ezekiel where the evil is located that I believe had really caused the people of God to have to go into captivity. And as we read this, let us remember what God teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that these things have been written for our admonition. They are written for our examples. We are to learn from the problems, the errors, the sins of these who have gone on before us. Otherwise, we'll be committing the same problems, sins again, creating the same problems again, and have the same consequences, endure the same consequences again. So with this in mind, just to save a little time, Ezekiel now has been carried over in the Spirit to Jerusalem. And in verse 3 we read of Ezekiel 8, "And he put forth the form of an hand, and took me by the lock of mine head, and lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy." Now, I want you to look at three phrases here in Ezekiel chapter 8. And in 10 minutes, we cannot go very far. I understand that. But I'm telling you, folks, this is a gold mine. And we, especially those of us who are in positions of leadership, ought to really take heed and pay heed to what we are going to study here in Ezekiel chapter 8. Now, remember, he takes Ezekiel over in the Spirit to the very place where God should be being worshipped. He took him to the temple. This temple that had been built, this temple that had been dedicated, this temple that had been consecrated to the glory of Jehovah God. But are they worshiping God? And have they been worshiping God there for a long time? Well, let's see what the Bible says. He said, "And behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry." Now, the very first things that Ezekiel sees at the door of the house of God is a profane idol that the people were worshiping. The first impression, as I tried to make clear on the last broadcast, first impressions are important. People, by what they see, what they experience, ought to be able to tell a whole lot about us, especially as they come into the house of God. And the first thing they see is an idol out there. Now, God had made it clear, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Idolatry has been, was, and is one of the great problems of mankind. And instead of Ezekiel being able to rejoice and say, "Oh, praise God, God's brought me back to his house, back here in Jerusalem where people are worshiping and serving him." No, 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 dear friend. That was not what he saw at all. He said, "And behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry." The first thing he was going to see was not something that would remind him or bring his attention to the glory of God, but rather it was an image of jealousy. And no doubt, Ezekiel's heart was broken. And God said to him, he said, "Furthermore unto me, son of man, seest thou now what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations." Now, this is in verse 6. We are going to see God take him further in verse 13, and he will take him yet deeper in chapter 8 and verse 15. It's kind of sad that we have to break the program today because of our time, but let me say to all of you, it's good to be with you today. I trust the Lord would be pleased to give us a good closing out of this year and the beginning of a new year. Thank God for a clean sheet for a new year. As old Dr. Bob Sr. used to say, there's no stain on any page of God's tomorrow. Father, do bless. Thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness to us. Help us to be faithful and occupied until thou dost come. In Jesus' name, amen.